Romans 15.
15 or 16?
16.
16 or 17?
We got to verse 3 yesterday. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Everybody understand? Everybody remember what we talked about? Who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all of the churches of the Gentiles. We don't know when it happened, but the laying down his the. Laying down their own necks it was real. I mean, they put the necks is a weird word. It's trachelos, and it simply means ready to incur the most imminent peril to their life under the axe or in the lion's mouth. So it's not recorded what exactly they did, but obviously Paul was very appreciative. Give thanks is Eucharisto, or Eucharistio, which where we get the Eucharist. Churches, of course, is Ecclesia. And then Gentiles is Ethnos, just meaning the multitudes, other than Jews. In verse 5, likewise, greet the church that is in their house. And we studied that yesterday about the churches how they became so important, they were even teaching the apostles. Likewise, greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphroditus, who is the first fruit of Acacia unto Christ. House means house here. I mean, there's another word, Greek word for house that sometimes means temple. But house here is oikos, which means it's the place that the person inhabits or lives in. There's nothing written about Epaphroditus. It's the only reference in the Bible. But from this statement, he was apparently the first Christian in Greece. Acacia is all of Greece except that northern part of Thessaly at the time of this writing. So this guy's he's important because he's the first one in all of Acacia, all of Greece. What? You're doing it again.
That's pretty amazing that out of that person, and because of their work, the gospel maintained.
Amen.
Yeah, I was thinking about, you know, his thanks to these two, you know, Priscilla and Aquila, and that it sort of hung around here for about 2,000 years, just, you know, everybody reads about it, you know. They had no idea that anybody would ever know anything was going on.
Right.
Except for right there, whatever it was that they did, to jump in front of the train or whatever.
All right. Greet Mary, who bestowed much labor on us. Mary is in Greek, Marion. And it means, the word Mary, as we've talked about many times, means obstinate or rebellious.
Bitter
too. Bestowed much labor is it's a hyphenated word in Greek, but it means of such character as to have labored with wearisome effort to the point of exhaustion. And then salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners, who were of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Now, kinsmen is means of the same race. They were also Jewish. But there's no other reference to Andronicus and Junia. They were Jewish disciples. Oh, God. there were fellow prisoners, and that's literal. They were in jail, one of Paul's many times in jail, at the same time he was. And as of note is a word that means illustrious, of the apostles. There's a lot of people in the old line church who considered that the office of the apostle was dead, along with the gifts of the Spirit, after the church, after the birth of the church. There's all kinds of reasons they give for that. And they also normally say that the 12 were the only apostles. And that's obviously not true. Now, in the new charismania world, you know, they call themselves apostles at the drop of a hat.
Yeah, sort of went the other direction.
Yeah. All that started first in the black churches, but it grew in the 60s to there's a jillion apostles, huh?
It grew at Christ for the Nations.
Yeah. But I want to talk about apostles. Let's go to Ephesians. The point of it is they were of note. They were illustrious among all the apostles. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 4. Let's just start in verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now, I've heard this verse 11 ever since I was a believer. And he gave some apostles, and then somebody gets up and says, okay, you're an apostle. That was especially true at Christ for the Nations. And then somebody says, and your ministry is to be an evangelist. Or your ministry is to be a prophet. Your ministry is to be a pastor. Your ministry is to be a teacher. The problem is that's not what it says. The word some is only used once. And it's in look at the scripture. And it gave some apostles. And that's the word some is the Greek word mem, and it's a word that defines a particular thing. Something unique is about to be said. And it normally applies, I think maybe always applies, to the same thing. So when he gave some apostles, and then there's the word mem is not in the rest of it. So it's he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now you got to remember, in the first century, in the first church, it's nothing like we have today. There was no paid clergy. As you know, they met in the homes. There were no really never sermons. Most of everything that took place was a dialogue. But this is the process of a body forming. He gave, the apostle was the dying seed. He fell into the ground and died to self. And if he has died to self, then he prophesies, i.e. he says what's there no matter what the cost. And then as he says what's there, because then that will attract others, then he's an evangelist. And then because there are others, he has to fulfill the role of pastor and teacher. So this is a thing that has to take place in each body. First apostle, then prophet, then evangelist, then pastor, then teacher. But it doesn't describe a particular office. It says what happens in the process. Do you see what I'm saying? And the apostle is above nobody. It just describes what happened. In fact, the apostle is a servant of all. And in this process, it'll go from apostle, that's what happens when you fall into the ground and die. And then prophet, because you've died to self, you have no more concern, so you say what's there. And then because people will come and believe because of that, then you're an evangelist. And then because you have people, then you have to be a pastor, which is take care of, etc., and then teacher. So it describes a process, not different offices. Anybody?
Yeah, it makes sense.
It's like night and day, but yeah, that's cool.
Now this is it's critical. Otherwise, we'll continue this model of the church that has all this stuff going on that has nothing to do with anything.
Right, it kills all the ranking.
There is no rank, except the rank, the highest rank is the apostle, but if you notice in Paul's writing, he always puts servant before apostle. Bond servant. Remember, bond servant is the one that symbolically they nail the bond servant to the doorpost. It's like in what John found in India, where the apostle, if you will, goes out and there's no such thing as a missionary. I mean, that missionary is what happens when this happens. It's not a missionary. And you don't go where you're not invited.
Are you talking about where they go?
Every example of one of these trips that were made in here were made because somebody invited them to come there. They didn't decide to go and talk somebody into becoming a believer. Yeah, but they're invited to an assembly, to a philosophical exercise. Just, do you know how much money is spent on the churches and their land? You know how much in America it's something like, I mean, it's an unbelievable amount of money, billions of dollars. And there's no reference to them, that ever happening. It took 300 and some years before any building was ever called a church or a house of God. The only house of God was the type that, and it's a pattern that God showed Moses on the mount. That house of God was the temple.
Were the synagogues? People's homes?
Synagogue was an illegal thing. No, the synagogues, they started it. There were buildings called synagogues. Yeah. But that was never God's intent. Synagogue, there cannot be synagogue Judaism. Judaism, its primary essence is that it has to have that temple. First the temple, the tabernacle in the wilderness, and then the actual temple. Because that was where the sacrificial system that typified the work of Christ took place. All that modern Christianity is synagogue Judaism, which is impossible. Somebody argue with me or something.
Well, I don't get it. What's the difference between synagogue Judaism and Judaism?
There were no synagogues in Judaism. The synagogues were simply the gathering of the people and their local areas. And that, in fact, the first synagogue couldn't be in a building. It had to be on top of a hill where the wind could always blow and blow away the chaff. But then it became, it's getting too messy out here. Let's build a building. It's apostate. And so the idea of having a building for Judaism is called synagogue Judaism, and they were started by the Pharisees that wanted to separate. Remember the word Pharisees is parash, which means to separate. That's where the word came from. So you separate your religious life from your secular life. But everything about this mystery of God demands community, so that there's no separation, there's no religious life, and even the word Sabbath. The Sabbath is, remember we talked about this before, the Psalm 92 is always read on the Sabbath, and it was, you know, come see what thou hast prepared for thyself. You know, it was an invitation of Christ to come and see what he's prepared, what the bride. It's hard for us to understand, but I mean, there were no, what we see as modern Christianity has no basis in fact. And so the apostle was just the first person that was invited to go somewhere where there wasn't an already existing. You don't build on some of another man's labor.
So he wasn't invited as a traveling evangelist?
No.
And that's where my thing would jump.
Look in here. You'll see all these places that talk about him. He stayed for 2 years here and 3 years here, and then that became the school. The school was the process of what happens in a body. You know, I'm not saying the people that are doing all this other stuff, they're not saved, but I'm saying for us, we've been called back for some reason to see this in its original form. Just think of, let's look at some of the other apostles. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. There were no youth ministers or music ministers there was no planned music. It was the expression when there was, because this is the way it worked. There would be a song, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And so in that environment where there are no more walls of, well, I'm supposed to behave this way or that way, then these things are the expression of Christ in a body of people. And some want, then in other places, some may have a word, some may have a song, some may have a interpretation, whatever. But it's this is what I've been trying to get to, that we stop having a monologue and have this organic function that happens. But we've got so many images, and our whole life has been spent in having to have structure, that we've lost the capacity to do it. That's the evidence of that we've fallen so far. It's unbelievable. We've been passed through the fires of Molech so many times that we have lost the ability for spontaneity. Every time you've told your kid, every time you were told as a child, if you're going to eat, you got to eat your peas before you have pie, or any of those. And I'm saying, obviously some of that is necessary, but you can't give it any breath. You can't make it the rule.
If you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all.
No, you know, but each of us, I know your gospel according to Ben Franklin or somebody. but we've lost the ability for spontaneity, and so we become observers. And it's disgusting.
So, lost the ability for spontaneity.
You have to think about what you're going to say. Right, it's all formula, so everything is formulaic. So it kills it, and but this society has killed spontaneity from the beginning. Not just this society, all societies, because you decide and define rules of behavior because it's just right. God damn it, it's just the way you do things. No, it's not. Now we got to come out of all that. Come out of all of that structure and it'll be risky.
But that's the fun part.
Well, that's why I've always said, if you're ever bored, it's because you're not saying what's there. I promise you, if you always say what's there, boredom is impossible. Oh, but no, I can't say that, or I'm not supposed to say that, or oh, blah, 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 blah. And then it just becomes, you think you're learning something. You're not learning anything.
Well, how long did it take for you to
be spontaneous? Yeah. It was the fruit of my conversion. That's what I named it, Trinity, because it blew away all those crap that this is how you should behave about this, and what you do to get that, and anyway, let's look at. I said go to 1 Corinthians 15. I'm just talking about Christ and then who was seen. And then verse 6 is, after that he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remaineth unto this present day, but some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. Last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of time. For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. And that's just the predicate for... Now let's go to Galatians 1. No, never mind, don't go there. Let's look at these different places. Go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9.
Chapter 9.
He's Paul's venting here. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not you my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yet doubtless I am to you, for the seal of mine apostleship are you in the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this: have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as the other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Are only I and Barnabas, have we not power to forbear working? Now, again, this was already beginning. They were already starting to have, from the implication here, is paid clergy. They're already trying to have a formula, a form. And so here it says that Barnabas was an apostle. And let's go to Romans, you just saw Romans 16. Well, we go to Acts 2 and Acts 14 and all about Barnabas. There's a lot about him. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 4. And these in verse 6. And these things, brethren, I have a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that you might learn not to think of men above that which is written. And that no one of you be puffed up one against another. For who maketh thee to differ? Well, anyway, then because he put Paul himself and and Apollos in the same. Then he said, "For I think that God has set forth us the apostles last, as it were, appointed unto death, for we made a spectacle unto the world." Okay, then let's go to let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, excuse me. Paul and Silvanus, in verse 1, Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Then now go over to verse 2, chapter 2, verse. Never mind, I wrote it down wrong. But anyway, the point of it is that James was an apostle, the brother of Jesus. Luke was an apostle. Barnabas was an apostle. Andronicus and Junius were apostles. Apollos was an apostle. Silvanus and Timothy were apostles. And if somebody named Epaphroditus was an apostle. So it mentions a lot of apostles is the point. And the apostle, so we back to that thing we said, he gave some, and he's some as mem, calling special attention. He gave some apostles, then what?
Prophets.
Then prophet, then
evangelist,
pastor. Then pastor, then teacher. But again, it doesn't say, the indication in the Greek language is that it's one person that as the process of falling into the ground and dying, as a process of picking up the cross and dying to self, then it goes from apostle. Apostle is the dying seed. Except the kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. Then from that comes the prophet, because if you've died to self, then you just say what's there. Then comes evangelist, because people will believe what you say, and then you'll have to put up with them. Then comes pastor and teacher.
Level in there is grow with Oli? And what scripture is that?
It's sort of like when we talk about there can't be a believer who's not a disciple. You know, it's like everybody's, you know, that's the thing. Apostleship is that's falling under the ground and dying. Everybody should be on that
Amen.
Path somewhere.
Amen.
Or else you're in rebellion.
Well, we're going to spend some more time on apostles because it's critical, because it's not that everybody should do this, but that's the only way a true body is formed, when somebody falls into the ground and dies. I mean, you don't sell Christianity. You don't try to talk anybody into it. If somebody asks you, you tell them. But the very existence of a believer, a true believer, because he's a threat to every form of thought that there exists on the face of the earth. So as a believer, you don't do signs and wonders. That's just tricks. You are a sign and a wonder. And all of us are called to that. And you don't go from, I became a Christian, and then I finally found my calling. No. The calling and everything happens. It's boom. You're the only calling, the office, everything is Jesus Christ. But we try to put a form on it, and all we have is this boring crap. And then we try to make it exciting by becoming charismaniacs. So you get it's just like getting a hit of drugs, because you have to go and get excited. Yeah. It's the same as going to a rock concert. It's just group dynamics. It's a latent power of the soul. It doesn't mean anything. But boy, they put God's name in. Oh, the anointing is so strong here. No, it isn't. You can say the same thing about a rock concert. One of our members here used to get very confused about the difference between anointing and a rock concert. Didn't we, Gary?
20 years or something.
Yeah, but there's part of you that still wants that.
Give it to me.
No. You want to be entertained. Does this any of this make sense to you? All right, take it, big guy.